turn that down.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the yard, and I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart.
That was like a test. Thank you, Grant. You know, I like that, though. I like Tom Petty. Got a little Tom Petty going on. Thank you, Grant. And thanks to Tatiana and Rebecca. Grant does the training here on Thursdays, and we're just wrapping that up. Well, we want to welcome you. Guillermo Mesh welcomes you to the Imagining community here on KZFR 90.1 FM. And this is our quote-unquote finale, the radio show finale for the traditional ecological knowledge, Native American genocide, and Machupta tribal knowledge. And I'm really, really excited for the show we got, because we have Jesse Kai. Jesse Kai was kind of telling me in the green room, he's been on the radio some years ago, right, Jesse? Yeah, but right, with some of your friends doing powwow music. Just slide over in front of that. There you go.
Hey, Tanani. My name is Jesse. And I was the audience, the one-man audience. So with my friend's program, Powwow Highway, that was like 15, 20 years ago.
Nice. We have Allie Mentor's Night, always busy Allie Mentor's Night, and you're heading right out from here to Bioneers, huh?
Hey, Tanatum, yes, I am. Bioneers, talking about the traditional ecological knowledge, its impact that we can have in the community for capacity building to mitigate climate change and to also mitigate wildfire disasters.
Nice. We also have Lorraine Dechter. Welcome, Lorraine. It's nice to have you in the studio.
All my relations. Honored to be here.
Yeah, Lorraine's been a lifelong, I was something about that phrase, lifelong, you know, public affairs, radio broadcast person. And she was just such a blessing to me, because Allie, the day that she did the tech training, I was actually on the radio, so I couldn't go up there and do any recording. So thank you, Lorraine. You're going to be hearing that later. Lane did an awesome job. There was three different stations, and we got some wonderful recording. So, but at this point in the show, I'm just going to kind of turn it back over to you, Allie, and you know, and tell us what we need to know about the Machupta census, the tech training, you know, and maybe even forward promote the Bioneers.
Yeah, so just real quick, Bioneers is at the Women's Club this evening. I believe it starts at about 6:30. There is a film. There's a short film. And there's a panel discussion. I will be on the panel discussion as one of the keynotes. Well, I'll say keynote speakers, but panel speakers. And what I'll be speaking about is TEK. For all of you that don't know, now you know, TEK stands for Traditional Ecological Knowledge. And TEK is a science that is recognized in most universities across the United States these days as the traditional knowledge held by indigenous folks in this continent for thousands of years. And just to explain that even further, I want to make a remarkable statement and say that the indigenous folks of California have only been colonized for 170 years. So the decolonization process is more touchable than we think. But the reality is that we're not too many generations away from that traditional knowledge that sustained life here for thousands of years. So tapping into that knowledge and using it in a scientific way, in the community, as well as building capacity for labor, workforce development. We're looking at TEK as the paradigm shift from colonial capitalism into community stewardship of our ecosystems. So in that, I will say that the workshops and certifications that we've done through Machupta and are continuing to do through Machupta are designed to provide a basic introductory TEK, traditional ecological knowledge, to all community members, native and non-native, to build capacity workforce. These certifications are being notably recognized by agencies and contractors in the community that want an advantage in not only do extraction, but also restoration on land projects. Additionally, plugging in, I will say that the Machupta tribe has a census. And so I'm going to get into the census real quick, but I just want to ask Jesse Kai real quick. What did you think of the TEK workshop as a Machupta tribal member?
I thought it was ran great and very informative. You know, I've been thinking about it, and it's, you know, the thinking process of utilizing traditional knowledge, you know, is something new, and, you know, you could even say it's like a new invention type thing, because not many people, you know, the train of thought wasn't going that way. Now it's going that way, and empowering tribal entities to develop their own, you know, even like, what was it, a 384 programs, the forestry, taking care of your own property. You know, we're starting to develop stuff like that. You know, it's like, when you look at logging companies, how they use the their land when they lease it out, you know, they really don't have a diversity program where, you know, they cut down all the oak trees just to put up their specific trees to be used. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not good. And when using tribal knowledge, it's like everything has its place in the environment, you know, and so keeping that diversity in there is, to me, is a good thing. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like one of the things you taught was the different zones, you know, and now I'm looking at different zones when I'm like in the park and stuff like that. Like, oh yeah, you know, I'm going into this zone and stuff, and what should be there, you know, what kind of plants, what kind of trees, and, you know, because it all helps each other to survive, you know.
So when you say zones, is that synonymous with the stations that you had set up? Or maybe that's a point?
Yeah, there was an interesting, what they are, ecological zones. Mm-hmm. So what we have is just teaching basic TEK knowledge is not really going into the deep, right, collegiate, you know, names. But there's riparia, there's woodlands,
right,
there's, you know, we've heard of marshlands. So mm-hmm. these are actual ecological zones. And so they exist within watersheds, mostly, right, on the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we have in common across the globe. But each species and plants are kind of have adapted to place. Right. And so here, and especially where we're here in Northern California, we're here in Chico, California, we're in Butte County, or as it's called today, this place has had a history of fire being used as land management for thousands of years. So all of the plants and the ecosystem are adapted to fire. Mm-hmm. So when capital colonial settlers came through here, the first line of order was to basically exterminate the native folks here. And when they did that, the Stuarts, of course, were oppressed and removed from from this place for a period of time. And fire was suppressed for 170 years. So because of that fire being suppressed, you're going to see the campfire happen over and over again, destroying, right, communities.
But referring to the tech audio we're going to be playing, so it seems like you had three stations set up, mm-hmm, in a riparian zone.
No, one riparian, and then there was almost like a transition. So before you get, cool, up into the woodlands, there's an area where you're going to have certain trees like box alder.
Nice.
Box elder, and then, okay, alder.
Perfect. So you had three stations in two different zones.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yes.
What did you think of it all, Lorraine? I know you seem to be really excited. From the posts I've seen and stuff.
You know, I lost my home in the fire up in, wow, Paradise. And what made me cry the most was my 200 to 300-year-old black oak tree. It's going to make me cry now. I'm trying to figure out if it could be saved. And we lost another black oak tree the other day that was taken down. And I learned to plant black oak. There were black oak acorns there. I have one. I have nurtured it and sprouted it some more. And my son and his girlfriend and I are figuring out where on our little quarter acre of land that we should put this acorn.
Yeah.
And to me, that's special because I was like wondering if anything would sprout from these acorns that were there for hundreds of years. And now we can replant, and it means everything to me.
It was so beautiful because you showed me the acorn, just the way you showed it to me. It was just like you're holding a little baby
it's
in your
precious,
hand.
Precious, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a wonderful visual. What were some of the things that stood out for you, Lorraine, in the three stations in the first workshop?
Well, you know, the knowledge of how to plant the different things. You know, you think it's an easy thing, but
right.
Which way does the acorn go? How deep does it go? You know, I love that some of the things you just mix them together with this percolite, and then some of the things you just toss them in the wind. I mean, there are different ways to plant.
That's where I want
different
to be.
Things.
Tossing in the wind, it seems like.
The willow, you can just cut a piece off and just stick it in. You think, oh, maybe this would be really difficult to plant all this willow. And I was amazed, you know, to go and know that at this site in Butte Creek Canyon, at the ecological preserve, you can actually see it from space, as Allie was explaining, that this weir that she put in of willow has expanded the riparian zone by how the willow is planted and propagated, and that you can actually see it from space, and you can see the change in the landscape, because that piece of land was very disrupted from mining and from the trees taken down. You know, over time, this has changed a lot. And to see it be reclaimed by people who are stewards and to be invited to go gather there and have the medicine that's there is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And I did the radio edit on it, and I was like, I got some of it in there, but it was fun to hear everyone having so much fun walking and laughing and stuff. Because, you know, you had the thing live while you were walking. It just seemed like everyone had a wonderful, wonderful time and an informative time. What would you add to that, Allie?
You know, I think that's a beautiful part, is that we're inviting the community in. You know, what we've learned about the campfire is that this crisis has the possibility of bringing us together, and not only bringing us together, but for us to kind of relearn ways or learn back the things that we're taking from this land and from the people of this land, and to bring every single soul in Butte County into the truth of who this place.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I believe that's the kind of struggle, the beautiful struggles that we have as a community, is how are we going to get together? How are we going to get these acorns? And how are we going to fix what's been broken? Those are quality problems, and in a way where we can really move together, and we know that we're going to have future crises. We don't know what they're going to look like. We don't know how they're going to act. But we also know that we have to design this space, this place that we've known for so long and for generations have known for so long, as I would say, as the most tenacious community possible that will overcome not only racism and a bad past of killing Indians, but actually changing that and coming together with the Native community and with the tribes, and saying we're here, we're in this together, and sharing responsibility of restoring our ecosystems so that future generations can actually have the true historical point of this place, and that we are all responsible for taking care of this land. We always have been.
And it gives you hope. And after the fire, it's hard to find those things, hope. There were like over 100 people there, and they were such a diverse group. And I took my acorn and presented it to my family and my son and his girlfriend. Both want to come and get trained. It was so exciting. There were young people, old people, all different kinds of people.
Yeah. You know, it's such a beautiful thing talking with Jesse in the green room, just having a conversation. But your whole face lit up talking about, you know, passing this tribal knowledge down, this intergenerational knowledge. Maybe you can pick a little bit up about how excited Allie was to have all the different people there and how important it is to you to teach the children.
Right. You know, basically, you know, I have two children of my own, and, you know, basically they're a gift from God.
Right. Amen.
And you have a responsibility, you know, raising them at straight, you know, it's like, be true, you know, be honest and all the, you know, all the good things that you should be raising your kids to adhere to. But, you know, it's like the how to live too, you know, love people, don't look at, you know, color or, you know, whatever tendencies you have, you know. So it's like this knowledge needs to be carried on. Mm-hmm. And to have the kids learn, you know, oh, this is how I, you know, plant an acorn, and this is how, you know, I should, you know, take care of the trees, you know, how to cut it, you know, you don't just, you know, cut anywhere, you cut, you know, in certain spots and stuff like that, and just, you know, but also you get the respect of the natural environment, because some of these trees, this past week, we went to plant black oak. You know, it's like they're only about 4 inches high, and it's like, how long has these been growing? A year. So, you know, they don't recover that quickly, you know. Mm-hmm. They need to be taken care of. And so, and that needs to be acknowledged too. But the natural, Northern California's natural environment drastically changed the last 150 years, you know. The tree line, you know, came down almost, you know, You think, you know, up above Forest Ranch, but it was even closer than that. Right. You know, cutting down the, you know, trees for lumber and stuff like that, it changed their environment. You know, our flag, the California flag, has a bear on it. What kind of bear is that? That's a grizzly bear. Does California have grizzly bears anymore? No, they're gone, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the evidence of how drastically the environment has changed is there. And it's just like, people just need to be honest and say, yeah, you know, we tore it up and now let's take care of it, because it will come back and bite us in the butt. And it did paradise. Mm-hmm. So
it's a good time. I'll slip in an underwriter and station ID. You are listening to FM 90.1, KZ Park Chico, listener-supported community radio, Sacramento Valley, foothills, and beyond. The opinions voiced in this program do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of KZFR, staff, volunteers, board of directors, or underwriters. And you are listening to Youth for Justice, made possible generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts have been creating economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and spreading the word out about arts and culture through their bi-monthly newsletters. To stay in the know about the arts or to have your event listed, visit friendsof.art and stay in touch. And Grub CSA Farm, offering organic local produce grown at their farm in Chico. Grub CSA also sells to local restaurants and at all three Chico farmers markets on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And through their weekly CSA vegetable boxes. More info, 680-4543. And catch them on Facebook and at grubcsafarm.com. You know what I think I'm going to do? You got something you want to say?
I want to talk about 2020 census. Native American, Alaskan, and Native Americans. Mm-hmm. I just want to let you know that every 10 years, the United States counts everyone living in the United States. On April 1st, our tribes do not share enrollment numbers with the government, so it is important for all American Indians and Alaskan Natives to participate in the 2020 census. And what is in it for me, they ask? Well, the 2020 census is an opportunity to provide better future to our communities and future generations. By participating in the 2020 census, you help provide an accurate count of American Indians, Alaskan Natives. Your response to the 2020 census can help and shape how billions of dollars in federal funds are distributed each year for programs and grants in our communities. The 2020 census and our count, our response, our matter. Regardless of age, nationality, ethnicity, where you live,
You all need to be counted. So just responding to the 2020 census is easy. It's safe and it's important. The federal government and local American Indians and Alaska Natives leaders, decision makers will use 2020 census to date census data in a variety of ways that will benefit Native people in our community. So please, plugging that census to go ahead, if you're Native, make sure you get counted on the census in 2020.
So there won't be any specific, like, you know, Natives counting Natives, or they're just like, make sure you take the census?
Make sure you take the census, and if it's going to ask you what your ethnicity is, it's going to ask you if you're Native American. If you are, please put that down, and they're not counting if what your enrollment is, so it's that is not what you're, if you're not enrolled in a tribe, that is not part of the census.
Got it. Thank you for that. So I think I have a fun idea. I like to come up with fun ideas on the fly. I have one little observation from me outside looking in at what I saw at Tech, but then I thought it would be kind of cool just to play the first 3 minutes. It's you kind of introducing things, and you had so much joy in your voice, and then we can have a little studio, you know, conversation, and then you can get over to your next event. You're hustle on over to the Women's Club. But I was really blessed to after the Women's March, Allie led a decolonization workshop at the Peace and Justice Center, and I'm the one that asked the question around, you know, is it just for Native tribes and their families? And your answer was just so beautiful. People were like clapping and shouting and stuff. And it's, I can't possibly do as well as you did, but maybe you could recreate it, or I could just say, you know, you just said, you know, at this point we're all Natives. And then when I saw that whole, the whole Tech thing, the picture that I put together, the forward promo, it really touched me, because that's what you saw. You saw, like Lorraine had said, you saw all this wealth of people, all this different background, all this different culture, all these different ages and sizes and shapes. It was just beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how well else to put it. I do think that I had written something earlier, and I think I'll read it back, because I think it really sums up, and I had a lot of time to think about it. So I am going to read that out loud and see how that, you know, think how it settles with folks. But
I heard you speak at the Women's March. Very inspiring.
Thank you.
I had to stop in my tracks
and
listen to what you were saying. It was very important.
Yeah, I said there is no greater endeavor than to work collectively as community to strive for healing, land restoration, and a thriving economy. Tribes of Butte County have historically created thriving local economies based off the outcomes of ecosystem stewardship and large-scale community land management. The local Butte County tribal nations have traditional knowledge and the ability to work together for the greater good of local communities, which is the saving grace we especially need today. Natives and non-Native community members of Butte County affected by the campfire are in a position to work together as a whole and expand our capacity to manage our ecosystems. Together, we aim to restore the community's relationship with the environment with shared knowledge from tribes and local community members. The people of this land for generations have received prosperity, peace, health, and love from their connection to this place, and that will never change. Every single soul in Butte County is part of the truth today, and we must recognize our ability to rise to the occasion and seize the opportunity to have a thriving local economy based on our collective efforts.
Wow, that's so beautiful.
Thank you.
And that, you wrote that?
Yes.
That, Hey Tunani, that was gorgeous. If you could send that to me, I want to post that on Imagining Community.
Thank you.
That was really precious. I can't possibly do a better lead-in. Let's listen to this little clip that Lorraine, the first part of it, that Lorraine put together here on People Power Radio.
Awesome.
What we're here to do is do three stations. We have station one, station two, and station three. Station one is Rain. Can you come here, Rain? Rain is they, them pronouns. I am her and she. So this is Rain, they, them. Rain will be running the station here, and in 45 minutes, we do a rotation. Station two is down here with Raphael. Where's Raphael? All right, this is Raphael. These two folks have helped me, and we have worked together to gather all these seeds for free and to produce this out of our own pocket, to do a demonstration to the tribe and to the community that we're all capable of this and we can keep going forward. I've worked with Caltrans, I've talked to Fire Safe Council, I've got a lot of folks that are interested in contracting with people who have TEK certifications. Native and non-Native. So this is what we're doing. We're about to kick it off and make some changes. I'll be running the Station 3 down there, Riperia. We'll be doing some walking. If you cannot walk through the creek, I made a weir. It's a fun little weir to walk through. You can see it through space. So this was made a long time ago. I've been working on this, but you can actually look at Google Maps and see what's done on space from right here. So I want to show you that. So we might walk along the creek side. It'll show you what a riparia looks like, what kind of plants are going to be there. And then we're going to roll in and do some planting. We have box elders, white alder, and we have willow and mugwort, what we call moon moony. So again, we have 5 plants that you'll be certified for at the end of the day, but you are going to learn way more than 5 today. You're going to learn a lot of information, but I'm going to keep it low-lying fruit and make it easy for the first certification, but you are going to get a lot of knowledge today. Please ask us questions. I plan on being here out for most of the day. This is the Snow Goose Festival. We've crashed their party. Welcome to occupied Machupta territory. Hey! But the good thing is they gave us all the parking and they opened up the gates. So this area, ironically, if you live in tribal housing for the Machupta Indian tribe, Tony Sims had actually done a project to do restoration out here, and a lot of that got burned in the fire. So we're going to come out here to do it right. I really want to welcome everybody out here. This is my life dream. I've been working on this for 10 years. I've been teaching kids this whole time. I've been used to kindergartners all the way to 8th graders working out here. So it's an honor to be working with adults and doing certifications and really doing this the right way. This is history today. This is history. This is what Green New Deal looks like. And this is what all of us working together, we'll all be working with loggers and environmentalists. This is the deal. This has brought us together. I'm very honored. I love everyone for being out here right now. My heart is full. So we're going to start with 1, 2, 3 all the way around. You got to keep your number.
All right, back in the studio. That was so fun to see your reactions to all that. So I guess I have to start with Allie because she's just beaming for the radio audience. Yeah.
I always laugh when I hear myself talk on the radio or hear another recording of me, but that's good. I didn't, you know, I was really in the moment, so I wasn't even paying attention or trying to, you know, I didn't even know that I wasn't being conscious of being recorded, so I was really speaking to the people there. Yeah, so that's the most important thing, is being in the moment and speaking to the people there. And you know, I feel like I was laughing. I did not give enough credit to Don Hankins and Chico State University and all the students and all the years that they put in on helping that restoration. It was not me by myself. But I think that it's a great opportunity, though, that that we were out there and able to use that facility in a place that I knew so well.
Wonderful. How about you, Lorraine? Anything to add?
Well, I've been covering forest issues and all for, gosh, like 30 years or something, 40 years maybe even. And one thing I've noticed all over these years in Northern California is there has been a shift, and it has been very, very slow. But over time, I've seen the Forest Service cooperating with tribes and doing partnership with tribes and different agencies respecting more the traditional knowledge. And, like, did some projects up in Karuk territory, and they had some nice projects we did with KIXE where we collaborated with them on the burning that they did for the materials for the baskets, and so the elders could get to the materials to improve the materials. It was like, it was so, so important. But the scientists that they had there that they were working with the tribe were Native, and that wasn't the way it was before, that young Native people had gone to college and gotten their degrees and come back to their tribes and worked with the Forest Service and worked on all sides of the land management issues and brought that knowledge and the respect of science and have brought that together in one place. And that's huge. I've seen such a change over like 30 years.
Yeah, it's wonderful you bring up the Karuk tribe, because we showed a wonderful movie, We're Caring for the World. And just a quick plug on the 29th, We're going to do a show, the kind of the end, the big bang for the end of the season one. We're going to do a musical show on the 29th here with some powwow drums, some poetry, and just some folks talking about Native American culture. But on after that, we're going to replay the two movies we did. We're going to do the Canary Effect. So at 4 to 8 p.m., there's a big event at the Peace and Justice Center. We're going to show the Canary Effect, which was one of the movies we showed. And then we're going to show We're Caring for This World, which is all about tech up at, with the Karuk tribe. And then Allie's going to come in and have some opportunity to talk about.
When is this?
It's going to be the 29th at the Chico Peace and Justice Center. So maybe just a little bit about those movies. I mean, one thing to say, because you'd mentioned about how when people get together, it's such a blessed thing. I will forever remember those events that we did at Blackbird when we showed the Canary Effect and that We're Caring for the World. It was just gorgeous, and I'm just happy to be able to kind of recreate that again for folks that missed it. I must have had a half dozen people go, can I see it again? So maybe a little bit about those movies and get them as excited.
Yeah, something that provokes people to, on either side of the fence, pro or con, to watch the Canary Effect, is that if I tell you that we don't really, you know, we know a lot about the genocide that took place in Germany. We know that we're looking at, 6-7 million deaths during the occupation of the Nazi regime. But we're not really noticing or even talking about the United States' historical genocide of the of Native Americans, which is 100 million souls.
Yeah.
So that United States was built on genocide and killing 100 million souls to make this nation great. So if you, there's some facts and some figures that may not lay right with what I just said, or you want to know more about that to see, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, go watch the movie. It's free and it's online, but it's also really important to watch with the community, because what you really get with the community when you watch this is a sense of reconciliation and reparations that need to be made locally, and having traditional ecological knowledge and ecosystems being restored, there is an option for that. And there's also some trauma therapy, not only for the natives folks, but also that have experienced trauma through the campfire. And so we can actually use our, you know, trauma healing tools together and hand in hand, which is, you know, that's what communities do. So that's the Canary Effect. So that's the one I think it's important to watch that one.
That'll be at 4 on the 29th at the Peace and Justice Center.
And then the
We're Caring for Our
World. We're Caring for Our World, which I wish I could pronounce in the Karuk language. Yes. But I will say Ayuki to everybody out there who's on the radio who's Karuk and can hear this. But come to the Peace and Justice Center and come see what this beautiful film that was put together.
30-minute film.
And you know, I've been promoting working on the land grants from the federal government, and it's been really ambiguous. But there are USDA federal forest management contracts that can be picked up, and so they took up a small portion, like a 10-year contract. And for people to know, my ambitious goals, which I don't like that A word very well, but I will use it here, is that we are going to be I'll be working with the community for the next year, really hardcore, to pick up 20-year stewardship contract for all of Butte County Forest. And so this would be all hands on deck with every agency, community, tribal member, non-tribal member who's willing to work. And I'm trying my best to get that funding this year kicked off. And I'm also trying to get certifications for Paradise High School students, as well as local workforce here, so that those Paradise High School students can actually get certified. So I'm trying to, I had just done the certification workshop at Butte, at the Butte Creek. And so we'll be probably doing one with the Paradise High School, and I also have some other options coming up, but it's all contingent upon funding. So I'm working, I'm hustling, and I'm talking, we should do
fundraiser on the 29th then.
We could do a fundraiser. I think if I could donations. Do a fundraiser, I would love to do it for the Paradise High School students to get their TEK certifications.
So we'll ask people to donate. So I know people have got to be excited about what you just heard, because Allie's going to be leaving here in just momentarily. But you can catch her at the Women's Club, right? You
can talk to me in person. I'll be at the Women's Club. Yeah.
Tonight.
And there'll be some films there. So Bioneers is really important.
Bioneers.
Hopefully,
Women's Club,
fingers crossed, I'll be going to the Bioneers in Marin County next year as a speaker and a presenter. So, yeah, environmentalist of the year. That's what you get, huh?
Yeah, it is. And it's just been it really has been a joy getting to know you, you know. And I just for someone that's been somewhat behind the scenes from whatever limited coverage I've done, but, you know, Allie says she's doing this stuff. She's doing it. It's just like, you're doing it. You know, we went up to Wendy's property, and we were out there cleaning the property up and stuff. Anyway, I'm just very impressed with you and all the folks that you know, work with you and love you and friend you and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I have a great community. Yeah. I have a great amount of friends, and I'm making more friends. And, I always say that, you know, sometimes you struggle hard and you go through a lot, but life on life's terms. And then when you turn around, there's, like, these blessings. And you know, I couldn't feel more blessed with my community. There's pros and cons, but even the ones who throw salt and are all shady, I still love you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one last thing, because I want to do a shout out. Brittany White, if you happen to be listening, you know, what do you have to say to Brittany about this wonderful art piece she put together?
Oh man, that is awesome! So it says "Mind on Fire, Hey Tunani," and it is a very it's a very good picture of me holding a flame and kind of pushing out some little energy out there.
Yeah,
but I really like it. It's
it's really cool.
Yeah,
and you talk with your hands a lot, so it's just like
so it's beautiful. Yeah, I'm a hand talking person.
So we're ready to print, Brittany. We're ready to print.
It's ready to print.
All right. Thanks for coming in, Allie. I think what I'll do now is play the rest of this station 1, 2, 3, and it'll be magic. You're going to hear you again, but you'll already be at the Women's Club. You'll be in two places at once for a second here.
Yeah. I got to finish up and make sure I'm all caught up for that presentation, which will be later on. So you
later
can listen
on
to this. I know they're starting at 7 over there. I just looked it up. 7 at the Women's Club.
7, yeah.
And then I will be speaking around 8:30 after some short films and discussions.
Oh, cool. So I'm going to be over there.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't wait to. Yeah, can't wait. Women's Club, get on over there. Sliding donation. No one turned to write. It's for Chico Housing Action Team. It's a fundraiser and a community event. All proceeds go to Chico Housing Action Team. So,
yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Thanks for coming in, Allie. Let's get back
to this
interview. So, for folks that are just joining, this is Guillermo Mash with Imagining Community. You just listened to Allie Metters Knight. She's heading over to the Women's Club for Bioneers. We also have Jesse Kai, a Mechupto tribal member, and Lauren Dechter, who is a long-term journalist and a forest advocate. But we're going to come back to a clip that we had played about 10 minutes ago, and it's about their first traditional ecological knowledge. We played the intro, and then we had a studio conversation. But now you're going to get to hear the three different stations that were set up. It's going to make it seem like you were there without having been there. So thanks again, and we'll be back in the studio in about 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
One,
two, three.
All right, Guillermo Mash here. You were just listening to Allie Metters Knight introducing her traditional ecological knowledge inaugural training session. Congratulations, Allie, all your friends and the Mechupto tribe. And now we're going to hit station number 1 with Rain, and then we're going to go through stations 1, 2, and 3 and come back in the studio and have some discussion with Mechupto tribal members here on People Power Radio.
With global warming, right, a lot of times we're getting this, like, weird warm spurt in the middle of the winter. And some plants, even just a few days of being too warm, those seeds might die. They might not actually want to sprout anymore. So what we do to guarantee that we have viable seed is we put it in a refrigerator. And we put it in the refrigerator in bags like this with perlite, which is basically, like, rock popcorn style. They, like, puff up rock, basically. And what the perlite does is it keeps the seeds separated from each other so they're not all stuck together and, like, molding, right? And it also keeps that moisture evenly distributed, right? So this is, like, barely wet. This is not wet. It's moist, yeah?
You put them in the perlite after you boil them?
Yes. So you put it in the pot, let it sit overnight. The water will have cooled off. Drain off the water because you don't need nearly that much water, right? And then you put it in a bag with perlite. And this is actually a little bit drier than it should be. You have to kind of check on it periodically, and sometimes you have to add a little more water. Sometimes you get a little hole in your bag, and it's, like, drying out or whatever. But if you want to pass that around and kind of see. So this is seed that's been in the fridge, and so it stayed cold and with moisture. And Redbud is a super versatile plant as far as where it likes to be. It can be pretty low down to the valley and pretty high up in the mountains. A lot of this pod actually came from up by Susanville. I've gathered it in the Trinity Mountains where I used to live. But yeah, it is one of those plants that likes to be tended in order to grow more abundant and to grow the kind of sticks that you want for basketry. So it wants to be pruned, it wants to be burned, it wants all that attention to be really happy and healthy and be a good basket materials plant.
They could go here. So there's not a ton, so if each person wanted to just take one, plant them almost anywhere because there isn't any really competing with them. If we get even a few to do well, plant them in just how I just showed you. So I've enough here that that these could be planted across the whole, back and forth across here. I have 127, so each person can plant at least three.
I was saying two.
And then and then come back. We'll have two more to do after this one. And live oak is all around. A bunch of them got burned, and they're growing back from roots, or there's just a lot of small ones everywhere. And also every one of them that of the oak trees that have spiky leaves like this, if you wanted to catch it, are the live oak. They're evergreen. All the other oaks around here are not.
Which one is the grapevine?
These are all different grapevine cones. And you can look at these. So now when you look around, they're the easiest ones to see. They have a really big
green. Those ones pop out.
They're used for all sorts of things. Pitch. They need to be burned under regularly because they're very flammable.
The good thing about cattails and tule is that one of their components that they do is they actually clean water. So if you have to have water filtered and cleaned, then you're going to want to use cattails and tules. So sometimes this would be a watershed plant. So if you need to clean up watershed or pollution or something, cattails are really good. Additionally, they have a two-point medicine component. Cattails, when they get to the gel, if you break it down, there's a gel inside of the root. That gel is very numbing. You can use it on your root, on your teeth for toothaches, and in your mouth. It actually likes to work with inside of the with your saliva in your mouth. So this is made for toothaches. And the reason why also I'm not harvesting much that's in the ground to eat right now is because of the campfire and because of the chemicals and the things that were brushed on here. I'm going to take some time before I pull things out of here and eat the roots. I'm just going to give it some time. It was all star thistle and scotch broom. This was a mangled, knotty mess of invasives. But now it's a field of medicine. That field of medicine is when that weir, when this water breaks through, it's even going to take these willow piles out and push them along the bank somewhere, hopefully along the side here or anywhere around. But there's an intentionality of throwing them in the middle and letting the water take it when it's ready. But this is the beauty. Because if you ever live, there's very rarely will you be able to go in California and stand in mugwort or moonmuni this tall. Now all this will go down, but guess why this grew this much? Fire and the willow. So the willow along the banks kept it contained along this area. It's through more rocks, more and more rocks. Not all these rocks were there, but there's more now, and there's more clarity that this is a creek bed than there was before. And you were out here before, huh? When Angela was out here, when there was actually, you could see through here. Mm-hmm. And it was difficult. It was rocks and everything. So when the fire came through, it came, pulled all the way so you can see across the street. Across the creek. It was really burning. It pulled over here and the mugwort loved it. Moonmuni loved it. And so it came up and it grew really big. So this will go down. This will all die. And then in between it will become these really strong, wormwood or mugwort mamuni plants. So right here you don't see much, but if you go along the bottoms, you can start seeing the little tiny babies that are growing right here. And they're like little plants growing. That one.
Where were you standing? There's some behind you.
Yeah, so if you want to, go ahead and squeeze and smell, and that's mamuni. That's the medicine. That's your dream medicine.
I can smell it already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's my favorite smell.
I catch the door.
This is a public preserve, so this is a place to come and get your willow. This is a place to come and get your medicine. It's been put down here with good intentions. So I hope that people can come out here and gather this. Because the more it gets gathered, the more love it gets, the more it comes back. So give it some attention.
All right, that was Allie Matters Knight, the station number 3 from the Traditional Ecological Knowledge Workshop, her first one that she did there. Machupta Tri is going to be doing one or two a month going forward. And, you know, if you want to hear more of Allie and learn more about the environment, there's a wonderful Bioneers event going on. Starts 7 o'clock at the Women's Club tonight. That's tonight, 7 o'clock. Goes to about 9. And it's a fundraiser for one of my favorite groups and favorite groups of people here in Chico, Chico Housing Action Team. But listeners, you are indeed listening to KZFR 90.1 FM, Guillermo Mash, Youth for Justice, made possible generous contributions, KZFR supporters, and by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource, licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available. Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached by calling 518-0924. And by Dahlmeyer Insurance Company, a full-service independent agent and retail broker since 1948. Dahlmeyer Insurance provides a wide range of coverage options from home and auto insurance to farm and ranch coverage. You can reach Dahlmeyer Insurance in Chico by calling 342-6421. And you can get them in Orville, too, 533-3424 or at chicoinsurance.com. Coming up right after this, after a quick little conversation with Lorraine, we're going to hear from Lori Marino, an activist, a Native American activist, and Jesse Ka will be ending the show. But real quick, Lorraine, or maybe a couple of minutes around, you know, more insights on how much you love that training and listening to that clip.
Well, you know, the night after the fire, I went up and was right in that area. I was looking for my friend who was not able to get to see if his house was there. And he lives, like, right across from the preserve, right across the road there. So I was looking for him because he's disabled and he was trying to get his bicycle and get in there. So I went and I took a lot of, you know, cell phone video and tried to do that. But I'm excited now because that's right there where we were doing this training. So now I know how to help them replant their property, and I know how to help replant my property up in Paradise. So this is practical knowledge. It's really practical knowledge, and it's really important. I think that we have lost so many trees. I mean, for anybody living in Paradise, the trees, that's why we're there, is because of the land that it is. And so we have to help that land and reclaim that land by planting the right things and nurturing those things. So I'm just feel really honored that I learned this, and I was really fascinated that it seems Jesse is like a consortium of like 5 different tribes that are working together on this.
I don't know how that works. Mm-hmm. I came back to Chico from Alaska. I'm Machupta. I was born and raised here. But like Allie said, she's been doing it for like 10 years and stuff. And she's basically how I viewed it is through our tribe, the Chico Rancheria. She's been spearheading this endeavor to get this grant and utilize it to, you know, bigger piece of land, forestry land, to take care of it like that. And as far as I know, it's just our tribe working through Allie and her dream of doing this project, her bringing this about, making an economy, you know, that's the foundation is traditional, you know, ecological knowledge, you know, which, you know, is sustainable. I mean, you know, if people don't understand that acorn not only fed our people, it fed wildlife too, you know, and then there's other resources, you know, you can go out there, pick, you know, there's certain native lettuces you can make your own salad with, you know. So, you know, the possibilities out there are, you know, are numerous, and we just need to take care of our environment. I mean, going up in Upper Park, you know, if the stars thistles weren't there, just think how beautiful that would be, you know, just driving in there. You know, once we try to get star thistle out, which, you know, was brought, you know, when the first non-Indian came, you know, with their supplies and stuff like that. Rats, you know, they weren't native to America. So, you know, it's like when you really think about the impact, the environmental impact of what happened, you know, people might not agree with the numbers as far as being, you know, the death numbers. But, you know, just look at the historical impact, and that would tell you. I mean, the first boat to come up Sacramento, what is now Sacramento River, you know, the guy, it was a Spanish guy, and he wrote in his notes that, you know, the numerous villages just on the Sacramento River, you know, he was amazed at how many people were there. Then when he came back 5 years later, you know, there was nobody around. And he got off his boat, looked around, and he was finding sick skeletons. You know, that's what happened. You know, so the environmental impact was devastating. And for us to try to correct it and try to live with it now, you know, I think that's the better path that we all should live.
Nice. You know? I just want to thank all of our guests for running up against the time clock here, because I've got a wonderful interview that's pre-recorded, plays about 7 minutes, 10 seconds. But good time to plug our website, right? We just do Facebook. It's Imagining Community. And I'm going to ask Allie when I see her over at the Women's Club for Bioneers, which is going on at 7. She's going to be talking about 8:30 or so. And we'll get an answer around that, you know, how many tribes are involved in this. But thanks again, Lorraine. Thanks again, Jesse Kai and Allie Matters Knight. And, you know, for everyone that's listening out there, be kind, be gentle, be you. Until the next time.
Oh.
All right, Guillermo Mash here reporting for Imagining Community here on KZFR 90.1 FM. And this is our final show covering our season one of Imagining Community, which is traditional ecological knowledge, Native American genocide, and Mechoopda tribal history. And I'm really pleased to have a local activist and Native American champion, Lori Marino, on the phone. And welcome to KZFR, Lori Marino.
Thank you so much.
So, Lori, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and then some of the work that you've been doing.
I've spent pretty much my entire adult life as a human rights activist. I first, when out of college, was involved with Amnesty International and have just continued that type of work throughout my life. A few years ago, when Standing Rock was happening, I had gone out there, and at that point had become more aware of the issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women, that it is an epidemic in our country and in Canada as well, and try to bring more attention to that, letting people know that it is a massive problem that needs attention, and it's something that's consistently swept under the rug.
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, that's one of the things it's been really kind of shocking to me how, I say shocking because I've been in the county 7 years, and as when I interviewed Allie Matters Knight the first time in November, she's like, people don't talk about it. You know, they talk about Annie Bidwell as if, though, that she can speak for the Native American culture, and there's just very little information out there as far as much of a history that there is and how much of an impact the tribe continues to make. Anything you can add to that?
Our country has a way of glossing over anything that's negative. We don't want to take accountability. The perpetuated genocide of the Native American peoples. When Columbus had come over, it's estimated that there were between 50 and 100 million Indigenous people in the Americas. And by the end of the 1800s, that number was down to around 300,000, give or take, because of our policies that we had to exterminate the indigenous peoples of the Americas. And I think that as we've continued to gloss over that history and pretend like it didn't exist, it's allowed for this current problem to perpetuate, because we're not acknowledging that the indigenous people are still not being treated equally and fairly, and our government doesn't want to recognize them and their rights to exist.
Yeah, so I know you've been active in that space, championing for Native American rights, and why don't you just kind of tell us what you've been doing the last couple of years, Lori?
Well, like I said, I've gone out to Standing Rock. I'm a nurse, so I had gone out to lend my medical skills, and it was really a turning point for me. Previous to that, I had gotten involved with the Winnemem Wiinchu tribe, who are trying to restore the native salmon to the McLeod River, and become involved in local issues as well, and have continued to try and do all that I can to bring awareness to different indigenous issues, as well as to stand by the side of all of the tribes in the efforts to protect the planet. And it's my firm belief that our only hope is to listen to indigenous wisdom about how to care for the planet and each other, because our current society is at a breaking point, and we have destroyed most of the planet. And there's still time to turn things around, but we have to start listening.
Folks, just joining, we're talking with Lori Marino, a local activist here in Butte County that's working for Native American history and knowledge and justice. And maybe just a quick question around the work that you've done here in Butte County, Lori. Are you part of the indigenous community, or are you an ally, or how would you describe your relationship with the tribes here in Butte County?
I'm Chicana. So my family has indigenous roots in Mexico, which is part of the Americas as well.
It sure is.
So
we took that too.
We are all connected, as far as I'm concerned. And I just feel a sense of connection with all indigenous peoples, because I've been raised with the firm respect of our planet and on all living things. And I think that that's something that is lacking in modern society.
Now, and you mentioned the McLeod River. Did you work or be participating in the Run for Salmons?
Yes. I had first gotten to know Chief Sisk at World Music Fest, and she had been talking about the Run for Salmon. It was the first year they had done it, and I wanted to do all that I could possibly do to help them in that cause. So the past few years, I've helped work with the tribe in doing whatever I can for the Run for Salmon. I have yet to do the entire thing, though.
What's your most active role or project that you're working, right now or in the coming months, Lori?
Well, there is another Run for Salmon event that's coming up this year. It's earlier than it had been in previous years. We're going to be doing it in June. So it's still in the early planning stages right now. Ron Toppy is our Chico connection. He's the one who is most knowledgeable about where we stand on that. But basically, whatever is needed is where I'll try and jump in.
Now, I know you're working, at least from doing just a little bit of background research, through your Facebook research. You've done some work in the area of raising awareness and helping out Native American indigenous women that just disappear.
Yes, it's a problem nationwide, especially in the different plains states. Quite a few women go missing off of reservations and such. And a big part of the problem is that the cases are just allowed to go cold. Nobody even really investigates them because they're just Native women. Whereas if it were happening among the white population, it certainly wouldn't be ignored the way that it is. And oftentimes these women are being sold into sex trafficking and even shipped overseas. If you wanting to find out more information, there are different organizations such as Idle No More where you can find out more about what exactly is going on and what you can do to help raise awareness and bring justice for these women.